scripture reading, Matthew 16, 15 through 18. He said to them, "But who do yourselves say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it."
Well, good morning. It's good to see you with us today. We have several that are back with us that have been out ailing. And Martha, sure glad to see you back. Been missing you. Been talking about you behind your back. Yeah. So it's good to have you back. Joey's with us. And, you know, Joey had surgery this week also. And Cheryl is with us. Her nephew passed away this week, so we need to remember her in our prayers and the family. Sue is back with us. Sue never missed a day, but they did find her heart, and I was there when they found it. So that's good. That's good. You'll get me later. I know you will. I also want to mention that Benny has brought a whole row of people with him. And so we're glad that Benny's brought that row of people with him. And I also want to mention, Keith, would you and your wife raise your hands? These are some people that are going to be new to the area. And we want to make sure that they make their church home with us. So don't let them out the door without tackling them, okay? So just be ready for that. We are so glad that everybody's with us today. I want to mention this also. Manny, great job leading our song service. Dick, I'm always glad to hear you pray. There are a few men and women in this congregation that I really hold up high that teach me along the way as well. And Dick is one of those individuals, and I really appreciate him and all that he has done in his lifetime. Look who else is back with us. I didn't even see you sitting there. Sybil's back with us. And, you know, Sybil had a stroke about a week ago. And It's Monday. Yeah, and but she's back with us today. So glad to see you back with us. I want to mention Dick and Manny, but I also want to mention Dennis over here. Dennis, I've never thought about that thorn of crowns like that. And that is a real eye-opener. Because, as you said, as you brought to our attention back in Genesis chapter 3, God tells us that it's because of their sins that the thorns and the thistles that they would have to deal with. And Jesus took those sins to the cross. And that's a semblance of that. And I've never thought of that before in that manner. And so I really appreciate you bringing that to my attention. I really, really do. Thank you all for being here today. Thank you all for the love that you have for Jesus Christ. And the fact that you want to be here and want to be a part of this congregation and want to be a part of the home which we have in heaven. Thank you so much for that. Today, I'm going to talk about standing firm. And the reason I want to talk about that is because this is one of the topics that we don't have a tendency to talk very much about. We talk a lot about believing. We talk a lot about repentance. We talk a lot about confessing. We talk a lot about baptism and all those things that go along with it. But a lot of times, once we get somebody baptized, we have a tendency to forget them. To forget them. I know that I've baptized people before in the past, that when they left, I never saw them again. Because they thought they were done. They thought it was over. They thought everything that they needed to do had been accomplished. Folks, that ain't it. Because I'm going to tell you right now that baptism is the beginning. It is the beginning of your walk with God. Now, under no circumstance am I going to downplay baptism, because baptism is essential for our salvation. Unless you are born of the water and the Spirit, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. John 3:5. Baptism now saves us. 1 Peter 3:21. Folks, without baptism, we have no salvation. Because without the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us from all of our sins, we are still burdened and bound by those sins. We are still slaves under that sin. And therefore, we cannot be released from it until then. But realize what repentance is. Because there are two requirements for baptism. Only two. A lot of people say, oh, there's much more than that. No, there's really not. There's really only two. The first one is that you must believe that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. That is number one. But number two is repentance. If you do not repent of your sins, then all you're doing is getting wet. I told you the story about how my son was really young and he fell into the swimming pool and he couldn't swim yet, and so Kathy, being a lifeguard, had to dive in and pull him out, you know, and everything, and she raised him up and she said, "Can you breathe?" And he said, "Uh-huh." And then later, we were passing the Lord's Supper, and he wanted to partake of the Lord's Supper. And said, "No, you can't do that yet until you're baptized." And his response was, "I have been baptized." I said, "You have?" He said, "Yes. Don't you remember when I fell in the pool?" Yeah. "No, you haven't. No, you haven't. That's not it." Folks, if you don't change your ways, if you don't put on Jesus Christ, if you don't walk in the newness of life in Romans chapter 6, then you have not been baptized. You haven't changed. All you've done is get wet. That's all you've done. And so baptism requires a repentance factor. You've got to change. You've got to turn away from how you were before and live in that new life. In the same likeness that Jesus was raised from the grave, we too are raised to walk in the newness of life. We're new people. We're not the same we were before. We're not the same. We're not intended to be the same. Because Christ lives in us. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit, which lives in us, which guides us, which helps us through our times of need, our times of temptation. All those things the Holy Spirit helps us through. And the Holy Spirit intercedes for us when we go to God in prayer, so that every prayer that we pray is perfect in the sight of God. Every one of them. And so therefore that Spirit lives and dwells in us. But folks, realize this. You can fall from grace. Read the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians teaches us, especially in chapter 4, it teaches us that if you go back to the ways in which you were, you have made Christ's blood of no effect. And therefore, it goes on to say, you have fallen from grace. Folks, we can fall. Also remember this as well. Remember Demas. Demas is only mentioned three times in the Bible. Two times he's mentioned as a fellow worker with Paul. The third time he's mentioned is that he had gone back to the ways of the world because he loved this world more than he loved God. He fell away. We can do the same thing. We can fall away. Now, folks, what we must do is that once we are baptized, we must remember we are born again. John 3:3. We are born again. We're a new creature. We're a new being. We've changed. And therefore, we live our life for God. We live our life for Christ. That is what we do. That is what we do. And by doing that, we set aside the things of this world so that we can focus our attention on the things which are not of this world, but are of the things of the kingdom of heaven. That's where our attention needs to be. That's where it always needs to be. So as we look at this, I want to look at ways in which we can stand firm on that rock which cannot be moved, which will not be moved, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. We will stand firm with Christ on that rock. Now notice this in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Paul, in his last statements to them in 1 Corinthians, he is telling them to be on alert. Be on alert. Because, folks, you can fall away. Now, that doesn't mean that we're never going to sin again. Does it? Because, folks, we sin. We fall short. But what that means is that we must be on alert and not allow that sin to take us over. Not allow that sin to take us away from the gift of the Holy Spirit which has been given to us through Jesus Christ. We cannot be taken away from that. And so therefore he tells us to be on alert. And he says for us to stand firm in that faith. To act like men. Now that doesn't exclude you women. What that says is there to act like those who are soldiers. The song, Soldiers of Christ, Arise. And put your armor on. He tells us to be strong. To be strong. So what I want to do is I want to look at these four things that Paul says for us to do in order for us to stand firm in Christ Jesus. First, be on alert. This is very, very important to us. There are lots and lots of false prophets and false teachers out there right now. Right now. How do you try a false prophet? How do you try a false teacher? By the Word of God. You pull out the Word of God, you open up the Word of God, you take a look at it, and if it's not in God's Word, then it is man's Word, and that makes it false. Anyone who tells you that all you have to do is believe and you will be saved, realize what James says in James chapter 2. Even the demons are going to believe. The demons believe. The demons knew who Jesus was before the apostles knew who Jesus was. And therefore, when you look at it from that standpoint, the question is, well, if all you have to do is believe and you'll be saved, then the demons will be saved. No, they won't. They won't. There is much more to it. And so if they say that, then all you have to do is turn over to James chapter 2 and read to them where it says, even the demons believe, but they do what? They tremble. They shudder. They fear because they know the wrath of God is coming down upon them. They know that. So they fear those things. And they should. Because God will not be mocked. And His wrath is coming. And there are lots and lots of false prophets and false teachers out there. Be careful of that. And if they say something to you, open up the Scripture and say, show me where that is. And if they cannot show you, then that's man's word, not God's word. That makes it pretty simple. Be like the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, where they tried every word to make sure it was of God. Do that. Do that. Be on alert. Also in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, it tells us this, for this reason we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. So we are not taken away from it. Does that sound like you could fall away? Yes, it does. You can be taken away from it. So that you are not taken away, make sure you pay very close attention to what you are hearing, to what you are studying, to what you are learning, so that you do not fall away from the truth, that which is spoken. Paul exhorts us to stand firm. In 2 Thessalonians 2:15, it says this, stand firm and hold on to the traditions which you were taught. Stand firm to those things. Whether by word or by mouth or by letter from us. Paul is telling them at the church in Thessalonica to stand firm with everything that has been written to you. That everything that has been taught to you. Do not waver from that. Because by wavering from that, you are not standing on that rock, but you are sinking in the sand. Stand firm. This terminology says, act like men in Ephesians 6:13. Look what it says there. Take up the full armor of God. Now, I really like this section because it explains to us exactly what the armor of God is. It tells us what the helmet is, what the sword is, what the shield is. It tells us the breastplate. It tells us the belt. It tells us everything that we need to know about the armor of God. And he says, take up that full armor. Take up the full armor. Do not hesitate from that. So that you will be able to resist on the evil day and having done everything to stand firm. Take up the full armor of God. Folks, I remember one day I was at school and I was being my normal principal self and I had my superintendent come in the office and he was talking to me and he said, "You know what I bet?" I said, "What's that?" He said, "I bet you got a Bible right here." And I pulled out my drawer and put my Bible on my desk. I said, "Yes, sir, I do." Now, I'm not telling you that to impress you with me, but I'm telling you that because, understand, that's putting on the armor of God. So stand firm and put on that armor. I don't go anywhere without a copy of the Bible. I don't go anywhere. And some of you that are much smarter than me and much technology, have more technology ability, I can't even say it right. Because I've told y'all before, I'm kind of tech-tarded. I have no idea how to do those things. And y'all can open up that Bible on your phone. Good for you. Use it. Use it. I can't do that. I have to open up the pages. But folks, that's what putting the armor on is. Standing firm by putting on the full armor of God. And notice this in Joshua chapter 1 verse 9. Joshua tells us, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Do not be afraid. Do not be terrified. The Lord God is with you wherever you go. Jesus even says that in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. He says, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." So stand firm. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of how others are going to treat you. Do not be afraid about how others are going to criticize you. Do not be afraid, because there will be times when you will be persecuted. There will be times, as Jesus tells his apostles, there will be times in Matthew chapter 5 that people will say all manner of evil against you falsely for his name's sake. Stand firm in it. Stand firm. And realize, as Jesus said, "So they persecuted the prophets that were before you." Folks, so they persecuted the prophets that were before you. So they persecuted the apostles that were before you. So they persecuted Jesus who was before you and hung him on the cross. Stand firm. Be strong. Do not fear. Because the Lord goes with you each and every day. You are never left alone. Revelation chapter 2 verse 7 says this: "The one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." The one who does what? Overcomes, "I will grant to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." Folks, notice what it says. The one who overcomes. The one who overcomes trial. The one who overcomes tribulation. The one who overcomes persecution. The one who stands firm on that rock. Standing firm on that rock, you will eat from the tree of life. Overcome. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Not on the sand, man. Yeah. On the rock. Nothing will prevail against it. Folks, realize in our lifetime the wind will blow against us. The rain will hit us in the face. We will be pushed from right to left. But as long as we stand firm, we shall never fall. As long as we stand firm, we shall never fail. Too often times we forget that part of the plan of salvation. But that plan of salvation actually begins when we are baptized. The rest of it is the rest of our life where we will stand firm in the Word of God, stand firm for Jesus Christ, stand firm for the will of God all the days of our life. And be strong. Be courageous. Because the Lord goes with us each and every day. If you have a need this morning, a need for our prayers, or a need to be baptized, we want to give you that opportunity to come while together we stand and sing.